S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Yes. Praise be to God. Good morning, saints. And visitors, if you're not a saint yet. Saints are sanctified ones. God's cleaned you up from smoke and drink and lying, cheating, stealing. That's saints. Amen. Not dead and passed on. As Jeff mentioned already, we're in a series, and so those of you can catch up in just a little while where we are. We were on the creation of Eden last, not the creation of Earth now, the creation of Eden in our last series, and we're going to do a quick update on that. So if you'd open up your Bibles to Genesis, and we'll start right there. So that we're refreshed in our thinking, let's stand for the reading of the word, if you would, please. And Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 1, and then we'll stop at an appropriate place and kind of go on from there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we've studied this already, but in case there's any visitors with us, the beginning, we don't know when that was. Millions of years ago, billions of years ago, trillions of years ago. God is eternal, no telling how long ago it was. But whenever it was, God created heavens and the earth. Then there was some previous events that had happened, and the earth was sitting in judgment then, between verse 1 and verse 2. Earth was sitting in judgment, and then we find it's wrapped in darkness, which is always a symbol of judgment because God is light. So the rejection of God. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. So now this is just a few thousand years ago when God started forming Eden. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. He did not create light here. That was created in verse 1. He's only calling now for the light to come forward as he moves the mist of darkness back. The process that he goes through for the earth here is the same process he goes through for your soul. As he's redeeming earth, preparing it as a place where God and his children are going to live, he takes you through the very same processes. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness, called the night light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And I'm just going to stop right there, and then we'll kind of go into the slides and move it from there. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are all so dependent upon you, born with a mind that's an enemy of God, and alienated from the life of God, from the darkness that's within us. And then here you are drawing us to yourself. It's wonderful, Lord. So God, continue to instruct us who we are and what we are and our purposes on earth. And then God, may you move us on into not only understanding, but doing that which you'd have, living out, Lord, that part of the word that we're ordained to live out in this day. The scripture tells us that we are ordained unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so, Lord, we're resting in that, as I heard earlier, that he that started the work, he'll finish it. And so we're committed to you now this morning, Lord. Take the service, take the speaker, take the hearing. For God, we're kind of dumb sheep, and we really need you. So just take over, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you obviously know, we're in session number 6, I think this is. And we're only yet forming Eden, so we're moving rather slow. But like I told you before, the reason we're moving slow is this is the seed chapter, genes, Genesis. And so this is the seed. Once we catch principles here, then everything just flows from there because we see the formulas by which God works. And so that's why we're going so slow. Once we finish up probably either today or the next one, then we'll move quite fast. I don't know quite how far we'll get today. in now forming Eden, coming, bringing the earth out of its judgment. Now get a picture in your mind. Here's the earth, sun, moon, stars, everything is there because it was created in the beginning. But the earth now is sitting in space, enveloped in darkness. The same way that you came into this light with your soul enveloped in darkness under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. And then God starts bringing it forth. So the first thing to do is he has to call for light. So the envelope, the let the light, the envelope of darkness around opens up, but the earth is still in a mist. It's the same way that when you begin to see the reality of Jesus Christ, but you're only under a justified state. God's forgiven you, but yet the whole picture plan of God is not clear. You can't quite see what this whole thing is about, but yet you got a little light. You're not in total darkness. You want a Savior. You want to walk with God, but there's a bunch of things pulling at you. You just can't quite see your way. And then on second day, it says, let there be an expanse. That's the firmament or heavens between the, and so between the heavens and the earth. And so the fog lifts and forms clouds. So it says, let the waters be separated from the water. So now we got the water on the earth and we got the clouds above. That's waters. And then an expanse in between called, the Bible calls firmament. We would call the heavens. The birds fly in the heavens. And then on the third day, let the waters of the on earth gather and the dry land appear. So that's obvious what's happened now. The ocean, the water has shrunken down to the place that we have oceans, lakes, and rivers, but we now have dry land. And in this same time, that's when every seed starts bringing forth of its own kind. Because now that we've got the dry land, and now remember this body is a piece of earth, and there is a seed of predestination down inside the soul that's been enshrouded in this darkness of unbelief. Amen. Because of the spirit that's on us. And then when God calls for the light, that's when you begin to recognize not just going to church, not just the Jesus of history, Amen. Although all of that's true, and we believe that. But it's when you begin, the Bible begins to come alive to you as you begin to get a glimpse of the I Am, the living Word. What is God doing today? All the churches profess what God did historically. Now, let me reemphasize again. When Jesus, who was the Word, came and was manifested on earth in Israel, the Sadducees and Pharisees were staunch to claim they were followers of Moses, which would really mean they believed the word. But Jesus said, if you really would have been a follower of Moses, you'd recognize me because he spoke of me. So in the same way, if we say, well, I believe in Jesus, and you point back to the historical Jesus, that's the same thing the Sadducees and Pharisees did pointing back to Moses. But if you really believe Jesus over there, then you'll recognize, God will see to it, you'll recognize what God is doing in this age. Amen. And then recognizing the I Am, the unveiled scriptures for your day, then that links you back to the blood of Calvary. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and we have fellowship one with another. So therefore, it is recognizing the word, the manifested light in your day. When God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, that's light. When God said, let there be light, that was not light. That was only the word. Right. Every church looks at the word. Are we staying together? But when the Son appeared, that was light. When John the Baptist came on the scene, Jesus said, you were relishing walking in his light. And he was a great light, and went on. Then Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he told the disciples, you are the light of the world. And then he told the believers, you are the light of the world. So therefore, what is it? It's the living word in every age. And then to each church age, there was a special light called a star in the right hand of Jesus. Now, all the church ages are illuminated by stars and candlesticks. That means all seven church ages are in a nighttime cycle. Now, keep that in mind, and then now we'll continue on. So now the third day, now if we want to type this to the church, this would be like the first day Luther's movement getting a little bit of light coming out from the darkness of the dark ages. And then the second day, we got a dividing now, an opening up of something. Something begins to open up, and Wesley comes on the scene with a message of sanctification. Are you seeing the comparisons now? And then in the third day, where the dry land appears and every seed begins to bring forth of its own kind, we begin to actually see a manifestation of Christ in the church as the Pentecostal movement begins. Are we together? And then now coming on up here, we're not a fourth stage, but yet in a sense we are, in that it is something that's going on in this seventh church age that we have termed bride age. And so in the fourth day, it says, let there be lights in the heaven. The heavens consist of the word. Let there be lights in the heaven to divide day and night. So the skies are clear. We can now see the light sources. Sun by day, stars and moon by night. So when God now, take a look in your Bible now at that fourth day. Because we didn't get to this last time. We only got up to the third day last time, and we spent our time comparing bringing the world out of darkness, bringing your soul out of darkness. Let's see, where's our fourth day start? Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Now, this is not creation. This is merely assignment. He's telling them this is their purpose. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And many others have talked about the signs. We know the seasons, the days, the years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Now, hold on just a minute there now. Well, let me read one more and then we'll give a bigger explanation. Verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, when God in this fourth session is assigning the assignment, sun, you're to rule by day, moon, you're to rule by night, moon, you're to hold the tides, you're to control the waters and control the tides. Stars, you have your reflection, you're to do your illumination, and I've placed you in a way that you are a Bible in the sky. We know that. Okay, God wrote his first Bible in the sky. We don't try to read it, but nevertheless, it's there. And then for signs and stars and so on, signs up there. And then when he came down to Abraham and began to give him a promise, he says, your seed will be like the stars, and your seed will be like the sand of the sea. So we got a heavenly seed and an earthly seed of Abraham. So then now we've got stars, seed of Abraham, in the right hand of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. So now they are illuminaries. Now the sun is to rule by the day. That's when Jesus himself, the fullness of the word, was here. That was the day cycle. And then now in the night cycle that the church ages are in, the moon is the one that rules. And not only does it give light, but it also controls the oceans. That's the waters. That's the masses of the people. Isn't that right? So it's the church influence. Now, why do you say it's the church? I wish I was an artist. I could get a good scientific drawing. Here's the earth. Here's the sun. Here's the moon. Now, on this side here, that's daylight. On this side is in full shadow because the sun doesn't reach around. Light goes straight. So therefore, the sun overpasses the earth, hits the moon, and reflects back to this dark side to illuminate this side. So now that's the purpose of the church, to be the reflection of Christ on earth in the absence of the person of Christ. Now, in that sense, remember Brother Branham preached, it is the rising of the sun. So we're entering a new era now, but just to catch the picture. So therefore, through the church ages, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, reflects his light into the church, and the church reflects it back to the other side of the earth. As Jeff mentioned to you the other day, that the reflectivity of the surface of the moon is equivalent to charcoal. So that shows you how much light we're giving out compared to Christ himself, you know. So so now there's our reflectivity. Now, it is in this age. I'll put it this way. Brother Branham said that setting the church in order was one of the mysteries under the seals. Didn't happen in Pentecost. It came in this age, the bride age. So the pastors get in their place, the ministers get in their place, the deacons get in their place, husbands get in their place, wives get in their place, children get in their place. God's setting his church in order like he set the heavens in order. Are we together? And that's our day. That's his fourth day. Now, in the fifth day, starts in verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that has life, fowls that fly in the air, in the open firmament of heaven. So there's that gives you understanding, the open firmament. So that's between the waters on the earth and the waters up. We've got the firmament. God created whales, everything to bring forth of its own kind. Verse 22, telling multiply, replenish the earth. And so we got the fish and the fowl coming forth on this day. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day, verse 23, verse 24. Now the sixth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. And now we're still in the sixth day now. And God said, let us make man in our image. So that's why we say the number six is the number of man, because he was created on the sixth day. And over in the book of Revelation, there is an antichrist thing numbered 666. It is the number of man. So it is perfectly the display of man, but not God. Man and all his religiosity. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, the scripture teaches us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God had himself not yet come to flesh at this time. So consequently, this creation was not a flesh man. This was a man in the image of God, which is a spirit man, which God at this time was in the form of Logos, which is theophany. So therefore, there was a theophany man created at this time. And that man, if that man had been the final, then many of the attributes of God could never have been manifested. So that was not exactly, that's God's future plan, but he made a little detour. Now, here, let me show you. If we had come to the earth in theophany form, which is word form, yes, we would not have fallen. Many things would not have happened. We wouldn't have sickness. We wouldn't have this. We wouldn't have that. And so, therefore, in that case, God could not have been a savior. We could have spoken the word for our own provision. We wouldn't have needed shepherding, we wouldn't have needed healing or guiding or delivering, and so on down the line, counseling, all that God couldn't manifest in that condition. So therefore, he made a detour, and we find when we get over into chapter 2 that God forms a man out of the dust of the earth. And that man is not the image of man, that's this fellow right here. That's not the image of God. God is a spirit. So therefore, now when God takes on a form, it looks like a man. That's true. That's the way Moses saw him. But still, this creation is us in spirit form. And then we find in Matthew 18, we've covered this already. That's why I'm going fast. In Matthew 18, we find that there is an angel that watches over the children. And that's their guardian angel. That's their theophany. That's their body they'll go to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, dies, we have a house eternal in the heavens waiting for us, eternal. So therefore, only God is eternal. So therefore, the body that we have waiting for us has to be a part of God himself to be an eternal body. And so what part was it? It was always in his thinking. You got to remember that God is not developing thoughts. God has always known all things, will always know all things. He's always been perfect. And so he's not working out a better plan continually. He has always known all things. And we were always a part of him, for God himself wanted to be a family. So he had already devised that in his great mind. So when that thought comes out into word or into expression, that's actually God materializing into a form. Can you believe that a part of you is God materializing into a form? Absolutely. Now that sounds like some kind of Indian cult to say something like that. But yet if you take it back, you ask people in a more simple form, do you believe the Holy Ghost is God?
Yeah.
Do you believe you have the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Is that God? Is that eternal life? Okay, then God is in you. But when we've got a trinity of gods that people imagine, then somehow having the Holy Ghost in me is somehow a little lesser than the Father. But when we know that the Father is the Holy Ghost merely in another office, or vice versa, the Holy Ghost is the Father merely in another office, then, oh my, the Holy Ghost is Christ, is the Logos. That's why the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? So every born-again believer has that deposit of Logos, Christ, Holy Ghost, anointing, dwelling down inside, quickening that predestinated soul. So now the fourth day, I'm going to read it this time because I might have left out something and I want to be sure. So Genesis 1:14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the days from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days. So now in your own experience, the clouds are rolled away. What is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? A clear understanding. The skies are clear. And the clouds of creeds and dogma are shifting away. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Remember, to light upon the earth, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So you've got your assignment. Don't put it under a bushel basket, he said. Verse 16, and God made two great lights, and so on. I think we've covered all that. Setting the church in order. Sixth day, God creating man. Now let's go to the seventh day, chapter 2. So now we've got man created, and he's given his assignment, and he's given dominion. And in that form, he is told to multiply and replenish the earth. So in that form, multiply and replenish the earth, he has no ability to reproduce by sex. Are we together? That's where he was given his command. No ability to reproduce by sex. So it's another form. Let's just detour just one moment. Did Adam come to earth by sex? No. Did Jesus come to earth by sex? No, they were all birthed by the Word. When you are born again, is it by sex? No, it's by the Word. So God births his children right out of the Word. Are we together? Okay, so now we're going to watch something else slip in there. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work. God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had made. And then he gives the generations. Now, end of verse 5, in last half of verse 5. And there was not a man to till the ground. As Brother Branham said, a spirit can't take a hold of a plow handle. So now, and there went up a mist from the earth, watered the whole face of the earth. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. Man became a living soul. Now that's this man like we are. And so this fella, he's animal. He breastfeeds like animals. They reproduce like animals. Have a lot of ungodly drives in our body that are like animals. And you just got to face it. This is not God, this body. This is, quote, of the wicked one. See? So 2/3 of you, when you come into this life, are of the wicked one. You come in with the wrong spirit and the wrong body. But God is going to reach down into humanity and redeem his own out of that. And then they have the proper spirit and proper body waiting for them. Redeeming that soul. So Lord God formed dust man out of the dust of the earth. Verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now we got all the trees and the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we suddenly they're set aside in a little different category than all the trees. Then verse 15, and the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So he's been given authority, but he's been given limits on his authority. This is all yours, but not this. Leave it alone. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. So now he forms all the beasts, brings them before Adam. Adam names them. And then verse 21, God causes a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he brings out of him his bride. Now, of course, for those of you who are familiar with the message, we know this types Christ on the cross. And then out of him, first it says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then the Roman spear pierces his side, and water and blood come out. So out of the body of the last Adam came the ingredients, water, blood, and spirit, for the birth of his bride. So the two always run hand in hand. Eve came out of the first Adam. We came out of the second Adam, who was the Word. So we're part of the Word. She was part of him. We're part of the second Adam, the Word. Verse chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Look at his reasoning. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Sounds like a little addition. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amidst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you you shouldn't eat? And the man said, the woman which you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Yeah, the nature of man. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Everybody passing the buck. Verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, so he traced it right back where it came from. The Lord God said unto the serpent. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with this doctrine, listen close now, because there's many points here that if we can catch them, it'll unlock dozens of mysteries all through the Bible. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Now, if he's cursed above all cattle and above every beast, cursed above every beast, then he must have been higher than any of them. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So now the serpent becomes a snake. So get rid of this concept in your imaginary mind that Eve was talking to a talking snake. Not so. She was talking to the highest form of animal life. Now, God created in an evolutionary manner. in that he created from the lowest form of life to the highest form of life, created. And science can see that perfect stair-stepping. Therefore, they think it's evolution. Strangely, they can't find anything in between, but they think it's evolutionary. But God created from the lowest form to the highest form, and they can see there's something missing between the highest animal and man. That stepping, suddenly jumps, and there's man. There's a link missing. Missing link. Everybody's heard of the missing link. It's this fellow right here. He was a high enough form of animal life, he could talk to Eve, and his seed would conceive in the womb of a woman. But he was animal, meaning he had no soul. But Satan entered into this fellow, and that's why that old devil, the serpent called the devil, you know, that he's associated there, but the serpent himself was not the devil. He was just the highest form of animal life, but Satan entered into that to use it to pollute God's creation. So now he's been cursed onto his belly. Now he's a snake, going to be a snake. Verse 15, and I will put enmity, space, division, between thee and the woman. Listen. And between thy seed and her seed. So the serpent has a seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now the woman's seed, who's the woman's seed? Christ, no one else, because no other woman ever had a seed. It takes an ovum and a germination to make a complete seed. And so that means that a woman has to be with a man before there's a complete seed in her. But God placed in the Virgin Mary a complete germinated seed. So the seed was from God. But once it was placed in her, it was then her seed because it was placed in her. So now it's given to her. This is my hand, but God gave it to me. This is my bald head. God gave it to me. This is so this it's what once it's to me, it comes from God, but he gave it to me. Are we staying together? So the woman, God is going to give the woman a seed, and so then it's her seed. So her seed, Christ, will bruise the head of this fellow. Now Jesus didn't run around stomping snakes. So that's not the serpent's seed. Snakes, see? So therefore, what is it now? We're going to find as we go through. It's clear what they are. It's a seed line. It's a seed line that was created right here in Eden. Now, because now I've said that the act was sex, then now let's examine something. And we know that the common saying is they ate an apple. The Bible doesn't say that, but people say they ate an apple because it mentions fruit. Can you eat an apple and realize you're naked? How about a sex act? Yeah, that might work. Okay. When God is going to punish the woman for what she's done, he says you're going to have pain in childbearing. Would that have anything to do with eating an apple? No. How about the other? Yeah, fits. When God tried to mark a man as a separated man, what did he do it with? Circumcision. To put it bluntly, he marked them where the problem was. Then why would Jesus have to be virgin born? To bypass this act right here. So consequently, all the add-ups fit. Why did God place in her a germinated blood cell so that a man would come on earth and in his veins was the blood of God? Why would we need that perfect blood? Because the blood of man, Adam, was hybrid here. Right here, hybrid. So God had to bring to earth, through Jesus Christ, a perfect blood so that that blood could be shed, that blood cell could be broken to release the life that was in the blood. Now, here's an interesting little point. I hope I don't run off and leave you on this thought. The life of the flesh is in the word, excuse me, is in the blood. Life of the flesh is in the blood. Are we together so far? The word is the expression of the thought of God. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What did his flesh represent? Word. And what did drink the blood? Spirit. Okay. So therefore, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So what was the life that was in the blood of Jesus? Word life. Word life. So what was released for you? Word life. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. His flesh was the word. So the life of it was the word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that's what comes into you at the new birth. Part of it's already there, unquickened by predestination. Okay, we read some of the attributes. Let's look at a few now to kind of reinforce what we're saying. He said the tree was good for food. Proverbs 30:20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth, wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. Good for food. 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So she did not do this with the intention of just sex drive and pleasure. She literally was deceived that what she was going to do was all right. Adam, this Bible says, was not deceived. She fell in deception. When she falls in deception from the word, when you put away the word, you put away God. So now the first Adam has to type Christ, the second Adam. So consequently, if he had merely said, God, take that adulterous woman and junk her, will you? I want nothing to do with it. He couldn't do that as a type of Christ because we came into this life out of a problem also. So consequently, Adam had to take to himself that woman. Now that doesn't mean he hugged her. It means he put her, his seed in her. And now that was taking her to himself. She now contained his seed and they were one. And so God couldn't kill her without killing him. The same way that Christ's seed is in us. And God can't hurt us without hurting him. We're one, we're united. Amen. Said the tree was pleasant to the eyes, good for fruit. This one I really like, Ezekiel 24:16. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Two verses later, and at even my wife died. Pleasant to the eyes. Song of Solomon, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, and it goes on. Verse 16, she says, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I think every adult mind follows that. Amen. Genesis 30, verse 1, where Rachel is talking to Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Pleasant to the eyes, good for fruit. In Genesis 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So when we tell people that Cain was of the wicked one, this is normally the verse they point to right here. But you've got to read between the lines what's happening here. She gave birth to twins. Now let's watch. I'll explain it more completely. Now in chapter 4, verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So now we've got Adam knew his wife. She conceived and bore. Adam knew his wife. She conceived and bore. But three children have been born and only two knowings by Adam. Now the scripture is perfect to teach us these things. Can this really happen, what I'm talking about? The medical term for this is superfecundation. Anybody ever heard that word before? If you've heard me say it, you've heard it at least. Superfecundation. Fecund, the middle of that word, fecund is to be fruitful or prolific. Or the antonym to fecund is sterile. Superfecundation has to do with a woman conceiving on more than one seed from two separate relationships. Super fruitful, super prolific. So therefore that, so it's a medical term because it happens. So a woman, we've had many, journals, magazines have put out things on it where a woman gives birth to twins and one's white and one's black, and then finally it comes out she had two relationships with a black man, with a white man, and here comes the two. That's called superfecundation, and that's exactly what happened in Eden. The serpent knew Eve, then Adam knew Eve, and both seeds took. Because that's now watch, that's the plan of God from here on out. The twins continually run parallel. God does something, Satan does something, God does something, Satan does something. The two twins continually run parallel. Like Brother Branham brought out, he says, in the same ark, the dove was on the roost and the crow was on the roost. And at the time of Moses, there was a prophet. There was also Balaam, a prophet. At the time of Jesus, there was also Judas. And so out of the last day church will come twins again. Out of the last day church will come twins again, the bride of Christ and the Antichrist. So they just keep running in parallel. So God has set the pattern for it right down here in Eden. Now remember Genesis 1:11. We told you that was a very key verse. Every seed is to bring forth of its own kind. We see in Cain a liar, rebellious to God, a murderer, and will not receive the word. We see of Adam's child, Seth, then began men to call upon the Lord. And then 1 John 3:12 says, Cain, who was of that wicked one and wouldn't love. The scripture shows Adam knew his wife two times, three children were born. So as we begin to put the scriptures together, we begin to see something. Now let's watch here. Serpent seed, question mark. 1 John 3:11 and 12, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Matthew 13:38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? And we find the word generation means progeny or descendants of. Matthew 23:33, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You generation, you descendants, you progeny of the serpent, how can you escape? In John 8:2-3, Jesus is talking to all the people, but it is the scribes and Pharisees who challenge him. And then if we read John 8:19, but we've gone through that, those of you who are not familiar with that, you can read it at home, but we've gone through that so many times here in this church, I hated to go through it again. But in there, Jesus speaking to these people, he says, I am from above, you are from beneath. I do what my Father instructs me, and you do what your Father instructs you. And their answer is, we be not born of fornication. Why? Because they knew what happened in Eden. They were either of God or that other father. And they knew that. So immediately their response is, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. He says, if God were your father, you'd receive me. He that is of God hears God's word. But you cannot hear me because you are not of God. You are of your father, the devil. And my word has no place in you. So now there's a mark of the seed of the serpent. Religious? Yes. Cain was religious. But my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have from my father. You do the deeds of your father. Two fathers, two seed lines, one from beneath, one from above. You cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. He that is of God hears God's word. Two lines again. Genesis 6, at the time of Noah's flood. That the sons of God, that's the line out of Adam and Seth, saw that the daughters of men were fair. That's the line out of the serpent. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my servant shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men who were of old, men of renown. The serpent was a big fella, handsome, big fella. And we find all through the Old Testament, the Nephilims, the line of the giants, that's the serpent seed. But when the sons of God, Adam's line, mixed with the giant, with the serpent seed women, then out came these big men, sharp, intellectual, became men of renown. Because we find God's line tends to be a little more humble, more like sheep herders. And the other line, they're great inventors. Why? Because one is depending on God and the other one's depending on his own intellect. Now, Paul uses this application that we're talking about to describe something in the church. And we could not comprehend what these verses mean if we didn't understand the original sin. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Now, because now we know he's talking about Eve, then we go back up to verse 1. For I have espoused you to one husband. Not like Eve. She had two. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So now it's not a physical act anymore, it's mental seduction. She was mentally seduced also, but it's not doesn't result necessarily in the physical act, it's mental seduction. And he goes on to say that if you receive gospel, you receive Jesus, that's not according to Paul's gospel, you have committed adultery against your husband Jesus Christ. In fact, the prophet went on to say, he says, if you sit in front of that television set and feed on that spirit, he said, you're committing adultery against your husband, Jesus Christ, because that's not his spirit. And yet you're opening up to it. See, we will be judged in that day for the spirits that we allow to use our bodies. Now, there are certain attributes that are mutual to both seed lines. They both call on God. They both are religious, as was Cain and Abel, and we could trace it right down through the scripture. They both rejoice in God's presence. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. God offers the word to both of them, like he did to Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. They both can tap into Holy Ghost power. The group came to Jesus and says, but in your name we have prophesied and cast out devils and done mighty works. He didn't say they didn't do it. He just said, I never knew you. They weren't in God's part of God's program, but yet they by faith they took a hold of the power of God. Now what about the seed of God? Let's follow it now. We've been watching the serpent seed. Let's follow serpent seed now. I mean, the God seed. Let's go all the way back here. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in him. When Jesus was on the cross, as the song goes, you were on his mind. He saw his seed. Can you follow that? Galatians 4:6. This is quite review for The old timers in the church, but like I said, we're trying to bring the new ones up to speed. Now watch now. Remember, Jesus told Peter, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Now watch what fishing is all about. Amen. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of a son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Now, traditional doctrine says that we receive the Spirit and become a son. The Bible says it's because you were a son that the Spirit came to you. Only the elect can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Watch this now. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Traditional doctrine, oh, if you'll only believe, you'll be ordained to life. No, no, if you are ordained to life, you will believe. Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. So the gospel net thrown out over the world. Do God's children become fish by being caught in the net? Or were they already fish, and that's why he threw the net? Predestination is all through the scripture. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They don't convert from goats to sheep by hearing. They hear because they are sheep. See? So it's already there. That's something that God has already created his family, because there is another family on earth. What about the seed of God? John 6:39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now just pausing with that thought right there. All the Father's given to me, in another place he says, will come to me, and I'll not lose one. Now just think a minute. So is the whole earth going to be saved? We know that's not true. So therefore, the Father isn't giving all of humanity to Jesus, but the family that was created in the mind of God back in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, those will be saved. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Look at the way the people of the world are going. Is God drawing them? No. No. Why are you here, not everybody else? Because God's drawing you. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all have God in person for their teacher. Every man that listens and learns from the Father comes to me. Now that's important. 2 points now. All the Father has given to me, they shall all be taught of God. The all of God is the family of God, not every human being. John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Isaiah 54:13, that's where it's written in the prophets, Isaiah 54:13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. So all thy children, speaking to elect Israel, all thy children, so that's all God's family, they will hear. We know that in Matthew 16, old established church, you know, Matthew 16, for those of you that are new, let's look at it, Matthew 16. Again, this is one of those basic principles of God. And once we comprehend these things, then everything begins to piece together. Matthew 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus had asked them, Who do they men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it unto you. Now, there's the very key we were talking about. All the Father has given to me will come to me. They will be personally instructed by God Himself. That's what John 6 said. We just read that. So now here's the beginning of the church, and Jesus is telling Peter, my Father in heaven gave you the revelation of who I am. Verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock of revelation, instruction from the Father, recognizing Christ in your day. Amen. That's what the true church is built on. Not recognizing the God of history, but recognizing the I am. But it takes instruction from the Father to catch that. Now, instruction from the Father. Let's linger there just a moment. Scripture says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So now let's go back now. In Genesis, we saw that both Abel and Cain brought their offerings. And God accepted Abel's offering of a blood sacrifice, but Cain offered the work of his hands, and God refused his sacrifice. But in Hebrews 11:4, speaking of Abel, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So now, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and by faith, Abel offered unto God a more sacrifice, then he heard. He heard from God, responded to God, and acted on what God had shown him, and that was by faith. Keep in mind now, faith is not a stab in the dark, I sure hope this works. That's not faith. A lot of people, ministers, start out on the road hoping they'll be supported and say, brother, have you got a church behind you? No, brother, I'm just traveling by faith. What he really means, he's traveling by hope. But if he's got a revelation, I sent you, I'll take care of you, then that's faith. See? So this is now, so our first one, by faith, Abel offered. So therefore now, what are we watching? God instructs his children. It started right with Abel. So by faith, Abel. Now we don't know about Enoch. All it says is Enoch walked with God and was not. But it sure sounds like he had some instruction if he walked with God and was not. So it says by faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. Did he hear from God? You bet he did. He had the word for the hour of salvation for the day. By faith, Abraham. Did he hear from God? You bet. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. Did they hear from God? You bet. By faith, Joseph. Sure, he had a dream of exactly what his future held for him. By faith, Moses. God speaking to Moses over and over. So what was their faith? That, well, I believe God. God spoke to them. And then they responded, hearing, receiving, and acting on the word testifies of righteous seed inside. When we hear, do not respond. Another spirit there somewhere. Now, some of God's children fight a while. That's true. But there's another spirit that's doing that. If we were listening to God's spirit, you'd hear the word and respond and not react and go off other ways. So by faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, by faith, the bride of this age is going to receive a body change. Is that just a hope? No. We've been instructed. We've got a message that's taking us to a body change. And by receiving that message and following that message, you're testifying. You're righteous. Righteous seed in operation in your soul. Amen. Let's close for this morning. Jeff and musicians, you can come on up. Heavenly Father, what a calling. What an election. What a privilege. And how humbling, because we did nothing to deserve it. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. What a gift. Lord, may we feed on the word and enlarge the power of the gift of faith within us to move to higher, greater manifestations of yourself. I believe that every child of God has a longing for more of God, to see more of God lived out through them. And I know that deep calleth to the deep tells us that there is a deep to respond. So God, that's our longing. And as we see more clearly all the time who we are and what we are, we long for one thing, and that's that you will be declared in our lives. Take the prayer, Lord, bring it to pass in our lives. Those things which need to be altered, changed around in our life, Lord, speak to us. As we increase our time in meditation, God, may you just speak to us in those quiet moments. Open up to us those ways in which we're maybe hindering the flowing of the Spirit in us or in our church. God, just speak to us. We want to respond. Grant us the power, Lord, to hear and respond. We ask it in Jesus' name.